And thank you for the invitation to come. I'm supposed to talk about the budget and give you an idea how we'll do that. So government tends to take the easy route. I look around the room and you're our answer. We're going to raise taxes on the hospitals. We're going to have a manufacturing energy income source. We're going to balance the budget on the backs of the cities and towns. The communications tax is going up. Boy, it got quiet.
I've already texted that out.
Tweeting is good. I found a quote that deals with budgets that I think is important. A budget tells us what we can't afford, but it doesn't keep us from buying it. Sometimes that's what happens in government. We feel like there's a way to get anything we want or need, and so we do it, even though there isn't a revenue source. We see it particularly with the federal government. Fortunately, right now, almost all states, I think all but two, have a balanced budget requirement, and all of the states balance their budgets, but they have a tough time. I just got back from a convention meeting with the Senate presidents from around the country, and one of the presidents that was there came the day after Illinois raised all of their income and corporate taxes. What an amazing reception he got at the Senate presidents. Everybody wanted to know if he was going to still be in office, and amazingly, he made it sound like Illinois was very receptive of that. Particularly the Senate president from Indiana was interesting because they just sent over a memo to all the businesses in Illinois inviting them to move. Wisconsin did the same thing. And that sounds funny, but you know, we're doing some of that here in Utah. We're inviting California businesses to come to Utah, and some of them are accepting that invitation, and it's turning out to be a good thing for us. California is in so much trouble that they're having a hard time deciding how to stay solvent. They're giving out IOUs, paying bills. The governor, the new governor, Governor Brown, just announced that they're shutting off all of the cell phones except for emergency providers. That's one way he's trying to tackle it. Several hundreds of thousands of dollars a month will be saved that way, but at the same time, they're billions of dollars in debt. So they've got to start finding ways to make changes. And I think in Utah we have to do that too. There are things that need to be done. We've had some fairly significant budget cuts in the past couple of years. They were needed, but they weren't easy. And now we're looking at rectifying the structural imbalance that we have in the state. That'll take an additional $313 million. We do have some new revenue growth. The governor proposes using $100 million of that to offset that. We think that we need to do it all, and as a result, we've asked agencies, branches of government, executive offices to work with us to end up with a 7% cut, additional cut to what we've done in the past. So we're starting out with the idea of 10, and then we can reprioritize and save those that are really crucial parts of government. I joked a little bit about how we're going to fill the gaps by raising taxes and stuff, but George Bernard Shaw made a comment that really is applied. Those of you that I didn't mention probably felt pretty good. He said, "A government which robs Peter to pay Paul can always count on the support of Paul." Well, those of you that didn't get mentioned probably thought that sounded like a good idea. If we had a hospital tax and an energy tax and balanced the budget on the backs of the cities and towns. But none of them liked it, I'll tell you that. I could tell by their expressions that they were nervous about it. Why are we in the condition we're in Utah and in the nation? I think it's because there are so many things available that we want. It's not necessarily that we need all these things, we want them. It's not that we're greedy. I don't think that we're greedy. It's just that there are things that are available that Alan Greenspan said, "We're not more greedy than generations past. It's that the avenues to express greed have grown so enormously." In other words, there are so many things we can do. The internet, cell phone technology, all the medical technology, all the things that improve the quality of life. Our kids all want an Xbox and a PlayStation and whatever the new one is that I haven't figured out yet. They all want those things, and we all want to give them to them. And so it isn't that we have to have those things. Our parents got along fine without them, but they're nice. And if we can get them, if we can use them, we would like to have them. So, in summary, let me state that I think that we will make some significant cuts to the budget. I think we will stay within the budget without really increasing taxes on the public. There will be a minor shift here or there in a fee or something, but we're not going to have an income tax increase. We're not going to have a gas tax increase this year. We're not going to solve the budget problems that way. Is it a significant change? This depends on how you talk about significant or substantial. The question that was raised in one of those internet quotes that goes around I thought was important. Why does a slight tax increase cost you $200, but a significant tax cut saves you about 30 cents? I'll leave you with that.